Hello and welcome to AstroTalk UK. AT UK is a not-for-profit 30-minute weekly audio podcast primarily for and by amateur astronomers in the UK. Available only online, AT UK is a virtual meeting point for the amateur astronomy community. Each episode is an MP3 file which can be downloaded automatically with a free subscription via one of the many podcast readers. I use iTunes. My name is Gurbir Singh, and I host AT UK. I am not a scientist, nor am I an astronomer. Topics of discussion have no fixed boundaries other than their relevance to amateur astronomy. Each week's episode consists of pre-recorded conversations with individuals discussing the roles, lives, and achievements of amateur astronomers and their hobby. More about AT UK at www.astrotalkuk.org. If you have a topic for discussion, drop me a note on info@astrotalkuk.org. AstroTalk UK, amateur astronomy, expert opinion. Episode 6, Sunday, 9th of March, 2008. Amateur astronomers, the next generation. Next time you attend an astronomy meeting at your local society or a national one, take a look around you. How many of those present are young, teenagers or younger? Whatever the number, it appears they are on the decline. In the 1960s and 70s, astronomy did not have the competition from computer games, internet, cable and satellite TV. That, apparently, is what's keeping the youngsters away from astronomical societies all over the UK. During the 60s, in the shadow of the Apollo program, amateur astronomical societies flourished. Young, old, and even families attended regular meetings and bolstered membership. Today, it is rare to see teenagers in regular astronomical meetings, but astronomy is not the only victim. Youngsters, it seems, are shunning other hobbies and sports in the same way. In today's episode, recorded at Astrofest, so apologies for some background noise, Roger Pickard, the president of the British Astronomical Association, recounts the days of committed amateurs who made telescopes rather than buying them, and asserts the ongoing strong relationship between amateur and professional astronomers. Guy Fenimore, secretary of the Society for Popular Astronomy, describes their Young Stargazers initiative to help address this very issue. I asked Guy when the SPA was founded.
The SPA was founded in 1953, and legend has it that it was founded on the steps of the Royal Astronomical Society by a certain Patrick Moore, who decided that perhaps there was not enough going for younger people in astronomy in the UK, and the society was founded as the Junior Astronomical Society.
I see.
And we operated under that name until 1994, when we found that quite a lot of younger people by that stage didn't really appreciate the term junior. They didn't want to be known as junior. They were modern 1990s youngsters, and the word junior put them off. But we chose the name because we wanted to really give the impression that it was less technical. So we adopted the name Society for Popular Astronomy, the SPA, in 1994, and that reflected the name of our journal, which was by then Popular Astronomy.
How many members would you say you have now?
Well, in round figures, 3,000.
People who are interested in astronomy tend to be older than compared to, let's say, 10 years ago.
Yes, certainly the older people tend to be the long-standing members. We have recently introduced an initiative to encourage young people to join the SPA. The reason being that we're very aware that the youngsters of today are the astronomers of tomorrow. And so we have a new section in the SPA known as the Young Stargazers. So anyone under the age of 16 can become a young stargazer. And they have all the benefits of SPA membership, such as the quarterly magazine and the newsletters. But in addition, they get a special Young Stargazers file packed with information aimed at their age group.
A lot of the youngsters diverted to the modern technologies of the internet and gaming and TV. Don't you see that? Are you still getting a lot of young individuals interested in astronomy coming to you?
We don't see as many youngsters these days as we have done in the past, and I think what you say is absolutely right, and not only the SPA but other societies have told us that they have the same sort of problems, that when we started as astronomers, I joined the JAS as it then was in 1962, but we didn't have the internet, we didn't have games on computers, we didn't even have home computing in those days, and so there were a lot fewer distractions for youngsters. And they became more focused on certain things like astronomy and other hobby activities. And it's not just astronomical societies that have suffered a loss of younger people. It's all areas. I've talked to members of other organisations and they've noticed exactly the same thing. Hence the Young Stargazers initiative to try and bring youngsters back into astronomy.
And yet, when you think about what's happening out there in terms of exploring space, now compared to when you and I were young, we've got right now a couple of satellites in orbit around Mars. There's a couple of rovers taking pictures, something on its way to Mars. There's a flyby of Venus a couple of weeks ago. It's ironic that it's just at this time that the interest amongst the younger community seems to be so low.
Well, I think yes, as you say, it is interesting. There is an awful lot going on, as you quite rightly say. But I think, again, perhaps because of all the other things that are happening in the world, maybe the impact of some of these achievements, whilst to us we understand and appreciate the technical, superb sort of technical achievements going on, maybe the youngsters don't quite see it in the same light. I mean, they're used to playing with video games and computers and things, and to them it's just another sort of thing that's happening up there, and so why is it so special? And really, we want to try and encourage people to understand why it's special and to pick up the enthusiasm.
In addition to the publications and the get-togethers you have, do you have any trips to observatories and actual observing that your members participate in?
Well, the Society has a number of what we call observing sections. So if you're interested in the moon, you can join the lunar section and so on. And occasionally that we do have observing evenings, usually under the guise of an annual weekend course that we run at a field centre in Shropshire every autumn in a really good dark sky site. So people can come along, bring their telescopes and actually have a weekend of talks and observing at a good site.
You've been a member for about 40 years, did you say?
Yes, that's correct.
And in your own personal experience, what would you regard as the most profound development in astronomy?
Well, I think there have been so many developments. I mean, there have been a lot of developments in the theoretical side and the understanding of how the universe works. But there also, in practical terms, you've got technology which has now brought the ability into the backyard in a light-polluted area to take images which are as good now from an amateur telescope as those in the astronomical books that I had as a child from Mount Palomar Observatory and so on. You can actually take better photographs yourself using modern equipment than the big observatories could in those days. And then also, of course, you've got to remember that the profound impact that the landing on the moon had, simply in terms of public imagination, and that fired a lot of people's enthusiasm. But technically, probes to Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury and so on, and Mars, the rovers on Mars, technically they're far more significant achievements than getting onto the moon.
Guy Fenimore from the SPA, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to AstroTalk UK. Roger Pickard, President of the British Astronomical Association. Roger, when we met last year, you weren't the president, but you are now.
This is true. There is a new president every 2 years, and it's my turn, it would seem.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What's your personal interest in astronomy as an amateur astronomer, and what's led you to becoming the president of the BA?
Well, I actually do an hour and a half lecture on this particular subject, so next time you're looking for a lecturer, no, I'm not really offering myself there. But it does stem back a long time, and it's what has really led me to becoming president is my interest in variable stars, because I'm also director of the variable star section of the British Astronomical Association.
The association was founded in 1890. Would you regard it as one of the oldest organised body for amateur astronomers?
Undoubtedly, yes. For amateur astronomers, it is probably the oldest, in actual fact. Having said that, I know the Liverpool Society was actually formed before that, but the Liverpool Society is not a national society, and if you're talking of national societies, then the BAA is the oldest.
What's the current membership like?
The current membership has been fairly static at around about the 3,000 or nearly 3,000. I think it's about 2,800 at the moment for quite a few years, although back in the days of the space age, we did peak at well over 6,000, so that was remarkable, but I think everything astronomical was really flourishing in those days.
There seems to be a changing demographic. It's mostly older, middle-aged individuals like me. Why do you think that's the case?
Yes, that's an interesting one, and it does worry the BAA Council. Where are we going to get new members? But it's interesting that I was chatting to another friend a little while ago who is actually heavily involved in a local sports club where they run football clubs and cricket clubs. And at one time, 10, 20 years ago, they, for example, the football side of it, had at least 7 teams playing over the course of the weekend. Nowadays, they've only got enough members to run 2. So it's not just esoteric things like astronomy, it's general sports. You know, I guess it's just that the kids of today enjoy the internet, television, listening to iTunes, who knows what, you know, anything but sort of getting themselves involved.
I know that the BAA have a lot of emphasis on observational astronomy. Are there any specific projects that you're working on within the association right now?
We tend not to have any specific projects, but largely let each section evolve in its own way or observe whatever it wants in its own way. So, for example, obviously, as far as the planetary observers have been concerned, Mars has been very much the topic at the moment, but now Mars is waning and will not be around again for quite a little while. Mm. However, Saturn is very prominent, coming to opposition as it does this month, so everybody will be concentrating on Saturn for a little while. The Moon, as we know, comes round every month, but it doesn't really change much. I mean, it's very pretty. I do enjoy watching it, but, you know, once you've seen it, really, that's it, isn't it? Unless you're a dedicated lunar observer. Then you've got the deep sky, but I was fortunate enough to join my own local astronomical club at the time, which was the Crayford Manor House Society, and never looked back because they were keen on all sorts of obscure, if you like, observing things. I say obscure things that we used to observe a lot of grazing occultations, indeed still do, even going out on meteor watches and that sort of thing. Meteors have been particularly bad in the last year, largely because I think of the poor weather. But all this rather led me on to variable stars as the only thing to observe on a regular basis, isn't it? So.
And you built your own telescope in the past as well, didn't you?
Yes, I was lucky. Actually, when I started work, I'd already got a great interest in astronomy. I didn't have a telescope worthy of the name. As I say, I was very lucky because one of the members of the staff of the very first company that I ever went to work with had built his own 7¼-inch reflector.
Wow.
Was kind enough to help me build my own 8½-inch reflector.
Here at Astrofest, of course, you can buy a lot of telescopes, much larger than that, for what seems to me certainly to be a very, very reasonable prices compared to the telescopes of that size in those days. Is that decrease in price something that should really be increasing the interest in astronomy?
Absolutely, yes. The telescopes that you can get nowadays, I think, are absolutely phenomenal compared with what you used to be able to get when I was young, some 30, 40 or more years ago. During the course of this, the talk that I mentioned earlier, I did actually come across the receipt for all the optics, because although I built the telescope, I did buy the optics, the eyepieces, and other sundry parts from Henry Wilde. The older members may recall the name Henry Wilde. He was a great telescope maker who lived in Hampstead, North London. And the receipt for these parts in 1963 was about £60. Now, how much have things gone up in the last 40-odd years? At least 10, probably 20, if not more times. So you can see the cost comparison. You know, you can buy a much better whole telescope for that same sum nowadays.
Yeah. And if you look, again, through what's available here at Astrofest, you can see large telescopes, even domes, CCD cameras. Is it reasonable for amateur astronomers to hang on to that title, amateurs, these days?
Oh, absolutely, I think so. They're doing it for the love, just because you can get a so much better telescope now than you could in the past. And is it not unreasonable that you should still call them amateurs. I think so. They're still amateurs, in the truest sense.
Yeah. Amateur astronomers who use telescopes don't tend to make them, which wasn't true a couple of decades ago.
Yes, that's another interesting point. I did actually have somebody phone me up the other day. He wasn't actually a member of the BAA, but he was looking for help in... He wanted someone who could teach him how to make a telescope. I didn't know of anybody. Ideally, he wanted a course that he could go on. Of course, there aren't such things, to my knowledge, around anywhere. Or if not a course, could I put him in contact with a telescope maker that would be prepared to take, say, a week of his time out, which he would pay for him to teach him how to make a telescope? I don't know if he's had any success.
And if you think about what's happening in the world of astronomy today, with so many spacecraft either on the surface of other planets or orbiting them or on their way, are you optimistic on the future of amateur astronomy in the UK?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, these space telescopes or whatever, they can't observe a particular object the whole time. We need amateurs to keep a track on, for example, Jupiter, what's happening there, even on Mars. Keep a track of the dust clouds, etc., that are that flare up from time to time. And, of course, my own subject, variable stars. I mean, there are just too many variable stars out there for professionals to be looking at the whole time. They need the results from amateur astronomers, and are going to, despite all these surveys, for some considerable time to come. And that, by that, I mean tens of years at the very least.
And finally, there is a strong connection between amateur and professional astronomers. The BAA is a good conduit for that?
Well, we like to think so, particularly if I may stress the my particular interest of variable stars. We have a great interest and involvement with professional astronomers. For example, you mentioned a moment ago the various satellites, etc. A number of these satellites are designed specifically to look at variable stars, believe it or not. And the professionals want to know, is a star, has it gone into outburst, or is it quiescent? The only way they can tell is asking the amateur community to keep observing this particular object or objects and alert them when it's gone into outburst or alternatively gone back to quiescence. So, yeah, there's a great connection between amateurs and professionals. But certainly, I mean, in the planetary world, this is the case as well. I know on Mars and Jupiter, as I mentioned earlier. And that's not all.
Roger Picard, President of the BAA. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to AstroTalk UK. ATUK is a non-profit project produced and recorded by Gurbir Singh. He nor any of the participants are paid for their contribution. ATUK's content is not validated against any authoritative source, and all the views and opinions are held by those who choose to express them. If you have a topic of interest you would like to discuss on ATUK, drop me a note, info@astrotalkuk.org.